Hey guys, Ryan here. Before we get on with today's episode, I want everyone to go and give a follow to White Albino on Instagram. They have some great, great clothing. They have t-shirts, sweatpants, shorts, hoodies, you name it, they have it. And it's a local clothing brand in my hometown as well, and they make some awesome, awesome products. So if you want, go check out White Albino at their website as well, and use code QFPOD at checkout for 10% off. Thanks guys, and enjoy today's episode.
Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. As Nate, Ryan, and Dorian are continued hiatus, enjoying their summers before heading back to school, I am your guest host, Adam Pallant. Now, to answer the many emails and DMs I have received and to address the dark web rumors, yes, I am Ryan's stepfather, and yes, we are still talking football. Today, we have the pleasure of having as a guest on the show, for the second time, mind you, one of my dearest friends who continues to age like a fine wine, Larry Taxon. Larry, who can be found in Virginia, is very vocal about the DC teams. He's a lifetime New York Mets fan and a Washington football team fan. He's also a fellow Hightstown High School, New Jersey graduate and alumnus of the University of Maryland, College Park. How are you doing today, Larry?
I'm doing great, Adam. How are you doing?
Feeling good, feeling good. Football is sneaking up on us. Baseball is slowly going away. My Phillies are falling. Mets are falling. It doesn't really matter anymore. It's football season. That's what we're looking forward to.
I know. I'm ready. It's usually when the Mets season starts, it takes about a week for me to have the baseball season complete and think towards football. But yes, football is starting. We had a preseason game this week, so it was really exciting to
see the boys back,
see pads on, see some hitting. It was great.
That's right. Not enough cheerleaders, but that's okay. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk football, specifically Washington football team football, the WTFF. There you go. That's what we're going to do. So before we do that, I'm going to geek out a little with some trivia that as I was researching and reading and enjoying the time. Do you know when this team was founded? This Washington football team?
It's one of the original teams that was founded. I would say actually don't know the year. So let's go with 1923.
Wow. Flip those numbers. 1932. They were founded as the Boston Braves. And they changed their name to the Redskins in 33, moved to DC in 37. There you go. Do you know how many Super Bowls they've won?
Three.
Yeah, you got correct. And the last
83, 88, 92, but nice. all with three different quarterbacks.
That's right. Look at you. You geeked me out even more. I appreciate that. And I found out that in 1969, they hired Vince Lombardi to be their coach. They went 7-5-2. They thought they had a great future. Of course, he dies next year.
Yeah, well, that's befitting of this franchise. So, yes,
So I researched it, and he did not make a very good coach after that.
No,
it's tough,
but much better than Jim Zorn, who was here as a coach. So
yes, that's probably true. That's a lot of dead people are better coaches than Jim Zorn. All right, so let's sit back, take a drink if you need, and let's recap the 2020 season. So head coach Ron Rivera, he brought some pride, brought some respectability to the Washington team in 2020. He took the team from worst to first in the NFC East against COVID, despite his own battle with cancer, and they finished 7-9, despite starting the season 1-5 and then 2-7. And they became the third team in NFL history to win a division with a losing record in non-strike year. And you know who the last team was?
Carolina Panthers, coached by Coach Ron Rivera.
Look at you. I don't even know what I'm doing. You should be hosting this because you're outstanding. So Larry, the question is, what went right?
It was a crazy year last year. If you think of everything that happened, right? You know, it started with cleaning house and getting rid of our previous coach and Gruden and moving to Coach Rivera, getting rid of Bruce Allen, our GM, and just going the coach-centric approach that Rivera brings in. So right there, you have a big change, right? Well, then we get the whole name, you know, scandal happening where the Redskins, right, which we've been called for many, many years, You know, had its, you know, people were for, people were against it, but in today's social climate and the way we look at names, it was the right time to make that change. So, you know, very happy the team was able to step forward and do that. So we have that going on. Then we have COVID, right? So now you got a new coach and how do you figure stuff out? Then you get into the season. And we start with Dwayne Haskins, right? Our first round pick. And he comes in and basically is horrible. The kid, you know, was talked about not preparing well, not being able to, you know, read defenses, you know, all these problems. So we put him on the bench and we bring in Kyle Allen, you know, who was in Carolina with Rivera. And Allen does fairly well. He does okay, a little bit better than Haskins. And then he breaks his foot, you know, breaks his leg. So who do we turn to? Right. You know, so, you know, we go to our next quarterback and basically we're dealing with him who had a broken leg. Right. And so we get through this whole season and we wind up at 7-9. Right. And you look at that.
This is when they brought in Heineken to be the quarterback.
Well, so then we get to the playoffs and, you know, our quarterback then, you know, he couldn't go again because of his leg. So we bring in Taylor Heineke. This is a kid that was going back to school, studying math, right? Trying to get a math degree. He was sleeping, I think, on his sister's couch, and we bring him in to be sort of the fourth string quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously our quarterback goes down again and we bring Heineke in and we go and play Tampa Bay, you know, we go and play Brady. And to be honest, the game was close, right? You know, it wasn't a blowout. You know, Heineke had that famous play, you know, where he dove for the pylon and we got the touchdown and we got in. So, you know, we worked off that, right? So the things that worked into last year, right, is we had a great defense. We had number two selection in the draft, Chase Young, come in dominant. He was rookie defensive player of the year and just everything gelled, you know, like from the defense. And we'll talk more about where we're going this year with defense. But
statistically, the Washington was the fourth best in the NFL last season, according to Pro Football Reference, the fourth in all. And after they lost to Detroit in week 9, they didn't let up more than 17 points for the rest of the season until the Bucs game.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, they had these really good spurts where the defense carried them, you know, like, and just look at the Cincinnati Bengals game that they had, right? You know, Cincinnati was driving, they were down on the goal line. Burrow starts scrambling and Chase Young goes from the right side of the line to the left, chases Burrow down and knocks him basically out cold right at the goal line and knocks Burrow out for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was stuff like that where, you know, what worked good was our defense. What worked well was Ron Rivera sort of changing the culture of this team. Mm-hmm. You know, what didn't work was our offense, right? You know, we had four different quarterbacks. Yes, we have star wide receiver Terry McLaurin, but the problem is when you have a star receiver like that and somebody could go deep, if your quarterback is only throwing 10 yards a clip, right, you're not going to have these big plays. So it was always painful to watch the offense get out into the field. So you were just relying on that defense to create stops, to create turnovers and give them something. But overall, all in all, 7-9, beat the Eagles, you know, the last game of the season, which was a little controversial because, you know, the Eagles were sort of winning that game and then they pulled their quarterback and put in Nate Sudfeld, who used to be our like fifth string quarterback. That's and so, you know, so like I said, all in all, I was really proud of the team. As WFT fans, we live in a very roller coaster like emotional, you know, state where, you know, we have highs right at the start of the season and then we get depressed all throughout the season. Then the summer comes and we have the draft and then we get all excited again. So sure. I'm super pumped for this upcoming season.
Well, there you go. So I think that transitions well to the draft. We can talk about that. This draft looked pretty good considering they had a great defense and the first three picks, they went right in for defense.
Right. So what we had, actually, I'll correct you there. So our number one pick that we got was Jamin Davis, right? Linebacker from Kentucky. This guy is just a physical specimen. The challenge and the concern we had with our defense were our linebackers. We don't have enough speed and in the linebacking crew, right? We had Cole Holcomb that we had drafted, prior year. We have John Bostic, who's a veteran. And then we have, a bunch of backups. And especially when we switch to a 4-3 defense. So Jamin brings us all this speed, right, that we want. And he's playing Mike, right? They're putting him right in the middle. He's being that captain of the defense, right? And what we've seen so far in camp looks very promising. I still say he's got a world to go, but I think we saw the impact of linebackers in Tampa Bay's run to the Super Bowl, to be honest, right? Those linebackers, like we're all flying over the field. So that's what we're looking for. Second round, actually, is where I'll correct you a little bit. We actually went offensive tackle, and we picked this kid, Sam Cosmi, out of Texas, right? This mean-looking guy. We've had a lot of consternation about our offensive line. Once Trent Williams was gone and we shipped him out to San Francisco because of the whole debacle with Gruden and with Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen, right? Williams just wanted out. And so we brought in, Cornelius Lucas, I think last year to play left tackle. So we needed to beef up our offensive tackle. So Cosmi's come in. And to a surprise to me, the Washington team cut longtime right tackle Morgan Moses, like out of nowhere. And I was like, what are we doing here? And it turns out, they're slotting Cosmi in on that right side. So we had our first preseason game Thursday night. Team looked fairly good, but they had Cosmi in there for, I think, a quarter and a half playing right tackle, and he held his own. What's interesting coming out of camp is the kid's going against Montez Sweat and Chase Young every day. Right. Yeah. And he was just getting abused, right, the first couple of weeks, but he's held his own over the last several weeks against those two beasts. And then when you look at the rest of the class, we pumped up our quarterbacks with Benjamin St. Juice at Minnesota. But to me, the steal of the draft is our other third round pick, Deami Brown, out of North Carolina. He's wide receiver. This kid is nothing but speed. He, contested catches, right? Everything about him is fantastic. And just seeing him in camp right now, it's reminding everybody about Terry McLaurin. When McLaurin came to camp, it was the same exact thing, right? Under the radar sort of guy. And then he was just flourishing camp, and we're seeing the same thing with Deami Brown. And then the rest of the class, we had a tight end, John Bates, really good blocking tight end. We hope he's got some good hands. Derek Forrest, the safety out of Cincinnati. A controversial thing that happened is we picked a long snapper, Cameron Cheeseman, who we had Nick Sundberg here for, I want to say it's like 11 years as our long snapper. It was like one of those, you just leave it and forget about it. But he got injured, last year, triceps, I think, issue. And so we just drafted a long snapper, and we've actually saw some challenges with him on Thursday night during the game. Dustin Hopkins, our field goal kicker, missed two field goals. Wow. And when we look at the operation of kicking, the snaps were a little off, right? So just the slightest little thing can make things happen. So all in all, and then, the other guy, the last two guys, we drafted another DN, but in round seven, we had three picks in the seventh round. We picked Shaka Tony, right?
A great name, by the way, great name.
I know, defensive end for Penn State, right? A littler guy. We'll see if he has an impact or not. It's going to really be hard to crack that defensive end position, obviously, with Montez Sweat and Chase Young and even some of the guys that we drafted last year. And then our last pick in the whole draft was Dax Milne from, from BYU. Mm-hmm. The guy, I think, was number three in the nation in yards last year, but really good punt returner. That's another area where we have been lacking. So we've been trying him out there. So all in all, interesting draft, excited about the draft. There was a lot of debate of whether we would move up to get a quarterback, but we did not. And so as we look into this year, which obviously we'll get into now, we'll talk about the quarterback situation here for Washington.
Yeah, the draft, you got to be impressed with it. Both sides of the ball, as you said, offensive line and defensive line and quality wide receiver and tight end. So, yes, I think, again, draft is a draft, and you won't know until it all plays out, but I think you got to be excited about how it's progressing. So yeah, so now if we look into the new year, we can talk about what our expectations are. We know the defense is going to be improved, and he got more offensive weapons, and of course the quarterback will be better because it can't be worse. So what do you tell me about the offensive weapons? Let's focus on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, let's start with some magic and Fitz magic, right? So Ryan Fitzpatrick coming to Washington, you know, he's been everywhere. Same amount of time in the league as Alex Smith, right? Our quarterback from last year who, you know, obviously got injured, but a little big differences between those two, you know, Alex is more, you know, patient, more controlling in the way that he plays. And Fitzmagic is a gunslinger, right? You know, that's the line everybody says. You sometimes get Fitzmagic and sometimes you get Fitztragic, right? You know, which one's going to come to play. But he had a great year in Miami last year, right? And unfortunately, he got benched, you know, a couple of times, you know, because they wanted to get Tua, right? Tua, some, you know, quarterback play. But Fitzpatrick had a really good year. So Ron and the team sort of, you know, focused on him and brought him in for that veteran leadership. Everybody who they've been talking to, you know, just can't stop lauding the guy, saying how great he is. And he hasn't really had a team like this in his career. I'd say the Jets team that he played for several years back, he had 2,000 yard receivers. He had a pretty good defense, but I don't know. Like I'm feeling, once again, we call it Ashburn syndrome here. It's like Stockholm syndrome, but worse, right? You know, where we, you know, we believe the hype of what our team is going to do. And then when reality hits, they stink. But I don't know. Fitzy's been looking pretty good in camp. You know, it's basically with him and Tyler Heinicke is back, you know, as our second string quarterback while Kyle Allen still recovers from his injury. But, you know, one, so we're excited about Fitzy. Our other big pickup was Curtis Samuel. So, you know, speedy wide receiver out of Carolina, played with, you know, Ron before, played with Scott Norton, our offensive coordinator. Really excited about him. That was the other big thing they wanted to do, is bring a lot more speed to the team. And Samuel does that. Unfortunately, he pulled his groin like early in OTAs. And so he hasn't been on the field at all for practice. They're saying that he'll be ready for week one, but we really haven't seen that. But, you know, and with the negatives come the positives, right? I talked about Dyami Brown earlier. Well, Brown has been playing that number two slot with Samuel out. So we're starting to see, you know, him develop there. But really excited about Samuel. I guess our other third big pickup is actually on the defensive side, which is William Jackson III. He was a cornerback out of Cincinnati, right? So on a awful Cincinnati team, he was, you know, he was growing, right? Starting to do great things. Now we add him onto this defense with that defensive line, and we're thinking he's going to have a good year. Another good pickup that we did was Adam Humphries, right? So Humphries, a wide receiver, probably looking at him for the slot. You know, he had been in Tampa Bay with Fitzpatrick back, you know, a couple of years ago, and they have an awesome connection with each other. So we even see it now in practice. We saw it in Thursday night's game. He's sort of like his comfort blanket, right? He knows where he's going to be on the field at all times, right? So if, you know, if a play isn't developing, he knows where Humphries can be and drop the ball off there. So those are probably, to me, some of the biggest ones. You know, we picked up some other folks, like another linebacker, David Mayo, Danny Johnson, the quarterback, Lamar Miller, you know, from the Bears fame. We re-signed him as a running back. But overall, so those were free agent signings. We talked about the rookie class, but the one person I'm leaving out is the one kid who is going to be real interesting to see if he makes his team, is Jarrett Patterson. This kid was an undrafted free agent rookie out of Buffalo. He's the kid that scored 8 touchdowns and ran for like, what was it, 450 yards in a game last year. The guy's small though. Like he's Darren Sproles, right? You know, he's that small type of running back, but you know, he played on Thursday night and had like 70 or 80 yards. He had an amazing first down grab catch where he got himself open to help Heinicke out in a situation. So we're going to see, you know, can he make the team as either the third or the fourth running back? But I think there's a lot of potential for having him there. And he's, once again, you know, he's pretty quick as well. So I guess what I'm excited for, yeah, our defense is, you know, was good last year. It gets better with Jamin Davis, gets better with William Jackson III, but our offense now with Fitzy willing to go down the field, adding Humphreys, adding Samuel, adding, you know, some additional speed at running back, right? Sky's the limit, you know, for this team.
Absolutely. I think you nailed it when you listed so many quality running backs, you know, with the, again, Jared Patterson joining Peyton Barber, McKissick and Gibson. You got the, he said you have the wide receivers, and when Samuel gets, when Samuel gets healthy, I mean, he's the best slot receiver this team has had probably since Santana Moss. Yeah. And probably the best deep threat they've had since DeSean Jackson. So you had him, you got Cam Sims, and as you said, Terry McLaurin. So yeah, quality offense, and Fitzpatrick's out the arm, we know that. So I think, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a very interesting team. The question is, you know, can they take that next step from a 7-9 team? They still have a tough schedule to look forward to, and that's going to be a retransition. You know, they still got to face some, not only everyone in the East, which is the easy part. The hard part is where they're going to wind up.
The problem, right, you know, with them winning last year, the division, well, now you got to face one of the harder schedules, right?
Absolutely.
And I'll be honest, right, you know, with 7-9, yeah, it is what it is. It's a losing record. And we did go against some bad quarterbacks, right? So it sort of made us look a little better. Like, what was it, Ben DiNucci was the quarterback of the Cowboys when we went up against them, because Dak was hurt and, you know, Burrow's got hurt and, you know, Nate Sudfeld in the Eagles game, right? You know, so definitely a lot of, you know, concern. I go back to Ashburn syndrome, right? Did we really, you know, we really think we're as good as we are? But when you look at it on paper, we have improved in a lot of different areas. We do have a lot of positional battles happening in camp. So to me, what that tells me is there's depth, right, amongst the team, right? So we're trying to get the best ones. Like, we have 8 really good wide receivers. We'll probably only keep 6. Tight end, you know, we have Logan Thomas. Like, I didn't really bring him up. That kid was, I think, 3rd best tight end in the NFL last year. He had, I think, 70 catches. But he's formed a really good bond with Fitzpatrick. So, you know, a lot of good stuff. And then I didn't bring up, you know, like Antonio Gibson, right? And it's a wide receiver converted to running back, you know, last year, had a really good year. Probably would have broke the rookie touchdown record, but he got injured with his toe on his foot. So, you know, Sky.
It was the toe on his foot, not the toe on his hand. Right?
Yeah.
Make sure where we're at.
It's not the toe on his hand.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So overall, you know, I think they have improved in lots of ways. You hope you don't see sophomore slumps, you know, from some of the newer guys. But overall, I think we're good. But we have a hard schedule. So you want to go through the schedule?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got my prediction. So this is going to be your time to shine. Let's see how the Washington team will do this year. So you're going to kick preseason aside, even though we're enjoying it. Week 1 against the your home against the Chargers.
Right. So Justin Herbert, right? So kid balled out last year, had a really good year. I think, you know, usually first games of the season are low scoring, but part of me and some other people think this is going to be a little bit of a shootout. I don't know. I have us getting a W, right? It's the first game at home. Fans are going to be there at FedEx. Everybody's going to be pumped up. Defenses come out strong. Look at Thursday night, Chase Young. He played a series and a half, and he had a sack fumble. Although they didn't call it a fumble, it should have been, but already had a sack fumble. So he's already in midseason form, right? So I think we get a W against the Chargers.
Okay, there you go. I right off the bat, I disagree, and that's a good thing, because most of the time when I pick a loss, they get to win. So I gave him a loss against the Chargers. So now you go 4 days later, you're at home against the Giants coming to town.
Yeah, so this one for me is a toss-up. For some reason, we can't beat Daniel Jones. Like, if Daniel Jones played Washington all year, he'd be a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? Because he's lost to, like, everybody else. Mm-hmm. But part of me hopes we're going to turn the tide here. Fitzy's going to come back again, have a good game. Defense is going to step it up, and we're going to start the season 2-0.
I agree with you. I don't think the Giants are there to make that jump yet. I think it'll be a nice defensive battle. I'm pulling for the Redskins to pull that one as well. All right, so 1-1 versus 2-0. There you go. So we then look 10 days later, Washington goes to Buffalo.
We're going to take a big L there. Buffalo, they've got a great team, right? They are one of the favorites maybe to get to the Super Bowl. Actually, I believe, you know, they've come sort of from the Rivera lineage, some of the, you know, coaching staff and everything. But Allen's a fantastic quarterback. He just signed that big mega deal. They got a stout defense. They got my boy Stephon Diggs from University of Maryland. We're not going to win that game. Yeah. I'm a realist.
I agree. It's pretty. It's great that they have them on the schedule, but it's not going to happen. So they're going to stay on the road and go to Atlanta.
All right. This is a tough one. I can go either way here. I had initially said win, but I think I'm going to go with an L on this one as well. You know, going down to Matt Ryan and playing that team. I don't know. Like I said, it could go either way, but because it's on the road and it's early in the season, I'll take the L for that one.
Okay, there you go. Again, we differ. I think Atlanta's got way too many question marks, so I gave the Washington a win in Atlanta because they're now excited to go home and play the Saints.
Yeah, so I have them winning against the Saints. No more Drew Brees. You know, we're dealing with Jameis or what's the other kid's name? The other quarterback that they have there. You know,
the former tight end guy.
The guy that, you know, does everything for them. Yes. That's another one could go, but I think Washington just has too many. I think that defense is going to rattle them a little bit. So I think we'll Taysom Hill. Yeah, we'll take the W on that.
I agree with you. I don't think the Saints are going backwards. I think the post Drew Brees time is going to be tough for the Saints. So there you go. They got a win, and now they're home versus the Chiefs.
Yeah. So my perfect world, it's a W, but it's not perfect. So we're going to take the L there. It's going to be a good measuring stick, I think, for us, right? To see mm-hmm. how can that defense contain, you know, the Chiefs. We saw it in the Super Bowl, see what Tampa Bay did, but you need that quickness. So hoping with the improvement with our linebacking core that we can keep up with their speed guys. But it's going to be a tough game, but I think we'll take the L there.
I agree. The Chiefs still are our top three teams in the league. So, all right. So that now after losing to the Chiefs, they're on the road to Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay, always tough to win there, even with Rodgers and all his frustration, you know, with, you know, this might be the last time, you know, we see Rodgers, you know, in Green Bay, but maybe he'll be in some burgundy and gold next year. You never know. But I think we'll take the L there as well. Unfortunately, two losses in a row, and that puts us under 500 at this point in the year.
Yeah. So per your record, and by the way, the I think Rodgers said he would go to Washington, but they need to be called the Washington Rodgers.
Yeah. He's not all about himself, right? No.
No, not at all. Not at all. All right. So there, the Packers are a loss. And how about you on your way to Denver?
I think we get the win in Denver. I think they're also another up and coming team. But I think until they get quarterback situation, I think Drew Lock is going to start for them, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I think we'll get the W there.
I agree with you as well on that. So that'll put you back on you back at 500, and then a bye. So there you go, a little celebratory sit back and watch everyone else fight it out before they come home against champions, the Buccaneers.
Yeah. So Brady comes to town. We were close, you know, with them. It's at home, but. There's two games on here where it's one of those, like throughout the year, like we can go through the schedule and sort of say, hey, you know, this is, you know, based on, you know, the paper and, you know, chalk, right? This is what makes sense. But there's some of those where you just got to say, hey, what the hell, this is going to happen. This unfortunately isn't one of those. I think we're going to take the L on this one, but I wouldn't be surprised if we kept it really close and found a way to pull it out. But right now we'll take the L.
The exciting thing about football and of course most sports is that by the time you get to this late in the season, you never know what's going to happen. Brady could show his age. Someone could get hurt. You don't know. Some of these guys on the Washington, the defense could really get, if they were number four last year ranking, if they're the top defense you never know. So I'm agreeing with you. I think it's going to be a loss, but again, by this late in the season, you never know what can happen. So you got, after they lose to the Buccaneers, they go to Carolina.
Right. So Ron Rivera, right. A little homecoming for him. This is where we're going to start a little bit of a winning streak, right? Rivera's teams always do well in the latter part of the year. So we're going to walk away from there with a nice big W.
Wow. I disagree with you. I think Carolina is going to be a surprise team this year. But again, you can say Adam's usually wrong. So fair enough. So let's give him the W. And then Monday Night Football at home versus Seattle.
So this is like the Tampa Bay game, right? You know, where, you know, based on what you know, like this should be an L. We have lost to Seattle multiple times in the playoffs over the last several years. That's where RG3 blew his knee out. We have not been great in evening football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football over the last 20 years. But I'm going to give us a W here. Wow. Right? I'm going to say that we will find a way to beat Russell Wilson and go from there. So this is my, you know, sort of moonshot pick, a big thing that we can do, but we're going to go with the W.
So that according to you, puts you at 6-5 after your Monday night game. Not too shabby. I'm sure you're excited about it. Hopefully you take in the heartbeat. So they beat Seattle, and then they on the road to Las Vegas to fight the Raiders.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting game. That should be in that new gorgeous stadium they have out there in Vegas. And I'm going to go with a W. I think we are going to contain Derek Carr. The Raiders are a lot of talk. You know, they were good, you know, but I don't know. I think our defense can hold them, and we're going to get a W with that.
I agree, because I just think the fact that Gruden's there, I just feel that they're always supposed to be good, and they're not. And I think this game is, I don't care if they're the Vegas Raiders or Oakland or what have you, I don't give them much credit at all. So I'm also giving them the Washington W against the Raiders. And now the fun kicks in even higher. They come home against the Cowboys.
Right, so here starts our whole NFC East. And right here, like, it's fun. We played all those games, but the next five games can really decide who's going to win the East, right? And I don't know if you know, there hasn't been back-to-back NFC East champs in, 15, 16, 17 years, right? Nobody has won back-to-back, so something that we are trying for. So I think Dallas is, you know, we're playing at home against Dallas. I think we get the big W for that there.
Wow, four in a row.
We're on a win streak.
So how about this? They don't know if it's going to be December 18th or 19th, but they go to Philadelphia. Still time TBD.
Yep, so we get the W at Philly.
All right, there you go. That's all you need to be said, because the Eagles are that bad. I agree.
I think the Eagles probably finish last in the East this year. And then that's about it.
I got the an episode recording tomorrow talking Eagles, so I'm not gonna. I'll save all my humiliating words for them for tomorrow. But stay tuned to that show, because it's gonna be hilarious. All right, so they beat the Eagles, and now they're out to Dallas.
Right. So this was another hard one. So I went with the L here. You know, I don't think that we are gonna sweep Dallas, especially at Dallas, right? It'll all depend on Dax, right? You know, if he, you know, is still playing, hopefully, you know, he's a good guy, right? You want him to have, you know, playing time and not still be out and injured. So I'm going to assume that he's in. They have good offensive teams, just improving their defense. So, you know, we beat them one, so we'll take the split with them on the year and take a loss there.
I did that as well. I think I can't see Washington beating Dallas in the sweep. Plus, as you said earlier, they don't play well Sunday night. So that's a Sunday night game unless the NFL changes it. So there you go. There's your loss, broke your five-game winning streak, and now at home against Philly again.
We're going to take that one. We're going to sweep the Eagles this year.
Nice. All right, there you go. I like that. Again, as I said, it's all you need to say. Jalen Hurts is not a quality quarterback. So, all right, finishing off the year at Giants.
So what we do typically almost every year, except last year, you know, typically play the Giants last. There's one year where we had to beat them and get in the playoffs. We did. And then there was one year where Kirk Cousins were, you know, it was a very easy game to win and we blew it. Another tough one. I think this could go either way, but because, you know, we've had such a problem with Daniel Jones over the years, I'm going to take the L on this one, which will finish us, I believe, at 10-7 for the year. So we have a 17 game season, which is something new. So we'll have to see with injuries and all that, but overall 10-7, I could see 11-6. I could see 9-8, right? I could see all three of those coming true, but, overall, I think that's sort of where we land.
So really you're predicting going from a division winning team at a losing record to a winning record, winning the division, whether it's a 9-8 or a 10-7. I also had them losing to the Giants just because the Giants are going to be trying to do something. Either they're trying to make the playoffs or just trying to save their season. I have the overall, I've watched an 8-9, still one win more with an extra game, but still losing record, but still winning the division and making a playoff. So it could go either way. Worst case scenario, you listen to me, 8-9. Best case scenario, looking at 10 or 11 wins. And you should be very excited about that.
Yeah, I think we're all right in that little pocket of stuff. So we're really, really excited about this year and really excited about the team and what we're going to have moving forward.
There you go. It is exciting and something to really look forward to. You mentioned so far in the show, we've heard RG3 and Kirk Cousins. That history is not fun to think about, but now as a Washington fan, you should be really excited. Fans should be excited about this team. Again, the defense is really going to make it fun, although maybe low scoring, but if the Washington offense can come through, you could be seeing a lot of, 30 to 10, 24 to 7 kind of games.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it'd be nice to watch a game and, you know, have our quarterback throw for more than 180 yards and us only score between 14 to 20 points a game. It would be wonderful to see a little bit of excitement in our offense.
There you go. I look forward to it. The world is always better when Larry Taxon is happy. So, all right, as we start to wind down the show, it'll always a fun thing to do because you've been a fan for so long. Let's talk about your favorite Washington football players as long as you've been a fan.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It's an interesting question because, as you know, because we grew up together, wasn't always a Washington fan because I grew up in New York and New Jersey, hence my allegiance to the New York Mets. But, you know, going to college down in this area, you know, I've been a fan for like 30 years, right, of this team, just because down in this area in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, it's just ingrained in the culture here of Washington football, especially during that time with the Super Bowls, right, with 83, 88, and 92, right? It's all you heard about. It's all you read about, you know, so, and it's everything that was on sports radio. So you just got to know the personalities, the people, the culture, the winning, Joe Gibbs, right, everything around that, where it got to the point where I was watching, you know, at the time the Skins, you know, play the Jets, which were my team. And I was rooting for the Skins. I'm like, oh, I guess I have converted somehow sacrilegiously, but the Jets were nothing to, you know, fun about, right? You know, like there was no excitement there. So for 30 years, I've been rooting for this team and, you know, a couple of my favorites, right? Like, you know, you still got to respect the history of the team. So, you know, you got to start with Joe Theismann, right? You know, wonderful quarterback, Super Bowl 17, you know, winning, great, great quarterback. He gives back to this community. Really good just to see him play, you know, to eventually go out of the game due to Lawrence Taylor, right? Breaking his leg. But, you know, he was always a really good guy. Riggins, you know, from a running back perspective, also in Super Bowl 17, the greatest run in the Super Bowl is Riggins. If you haven't seen it, go look that up. You know, John Riggins, Super Bowl 17, long run. He just plows people over and gets the end zone. So, you know, so really good guys there. Daryl Green, right? So you got to really respect that history. But, you know, as long as I've been watching them, you know, it's, you had about like 8 to 9 years of goodness. And then you get into the Dan Snyder era and it's all been downhill from there. But we'll start with Sean Taylor, right? You know, Sean Taylor was just this amazing, you know, safety. We have not had a good safety since Sean Taylor's unfortunate passing, right? And if you just want to get a sense of who Sean Taylor is, go Google the All-Star game, that he was in, where on a punt, you know, the punter was running out and Sean Taylor just knocks the snot out of this guy, right? He winds up and hits him in parallel and just knocks him out in this All-Star game. So it was fantastic. But you mentioned before RG3, right? How do we not be excited about RG3, right? Crazy trade, you know, to get up to the second pick. We got this guy. Fun fact, right? We drafted Kirk Cousins in the same exact draft. So how many crazy franchises draft two quarterbacks in the same exact draft? But we get RG3, and that year was just phenomenal. It was at 2012. And, you know, just the run that we went on, you know, towards the middle and end of the year, his like 70-yard touchdown run against Minnesota, like everything about him was electric. And we thought we had this big change, and then blew his knee out. He rehabbed, came back, and he decided, I don't want to be a running quarterback anymore. I want to be a pocket passer. The problem was he couldn't read defenses, right? And that, you know, that was his downfall, right? But he's managed to keep a career, right? He went to a couple other teams. He was on the Ravens for a little bit out of Baltimore. And now he just signed a deal with, I believe, Fox, you know, to be an analyst. So good for him. Chris Cooley, always a fan favorite, tight end, many years here. You know, really, you know, good guy to hear talk and everything about him. And then as I look to the current roster of players and people I'm excited about is Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, undoubtedly, you know, it, you know, going into his third year now, this kid's like an all pro, really, you know, takes everything, you know, in front of him. He's so wise, like when they speak to him, he's in a superb route runner, and we're expecting big things from here. So all in all, like a big storied, you know, history. I didn't get into like Sammy Ball, right, or some of those other guys, you know, Brian Mitchell, who, you know, has allegiances both to here and to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. He should be a Hall of Famer. So hopefully that's going to happen one day. But like I said, a lot of good history with this team, something that I've got to learn and appreciate over my last, you know, 30 years rooting for them.
There you go. And those are quality players. And when you look through the history of the of Washington, they have had some amazing players. And that's kind of what I did when I looked at this team. I was like, well, when I see the Washington uniform, what players pop in my head? And Theismann was one of them as well. In the 70s and 80s, he was the Washington, the face of them. So he was definitely on my list. Dexter Manley.
Yeah.
The Secretary of Defense, the man was a sack machine. And yeah. I just remember every time when you get the back in the 80s, you didn't get too many close-ups. But when you did, man, you saw the players getting up after he was – the quarterback getting up after he was sacked. He didn't look happy, that quarterback. That quarterback was not happy when Dexter Manley got on him.
Yeah, Manley was a beast, right? They had some really good, you know, defensive players back then. Even the offensive run, right? The Hogs. Right. Mm-hmm. That's our huge nickname for them. And you know, everybody dresses up as the Hogs. Everybody tries to be Hogs 2.0, but you know, Joe Jacoby and that whole squad, right. They are just, you know, beasts. You know, so like I said, really good. And then I think overall, you know, just lump everything all together just from a coaches is Joe Gibbs, right. You know, the mm-hmm. ultimate, you know, Redskin, great coach, you know, multiple Super Bowls, came back. We have called Gibbs 2.0, came back, took the team to the playoffs again once he arrived after, you know, the ball coach Spurrier left, you know, so, you know, we've really had some good, you know, some good stuff there under Gibbs.
Yeah. And of course the man knows how to drive a car. So,
yeah.
So yeah. You can't forget, of course, Art Monk, who was one of the greatest. Yeah. You know, when I was researching Art Monk, just to, because I remember his face, if you look at his achievements, you go to Wikipedia, he is the first to achieve so many things that wide receivers records that preceded all the great running wide receivers are today. He was the first to do almost everything. Art Monk, right down the line, because of course, you know, the Theismann helped him get there and all the great quarterbacks then, but he just was the first to accomplish everything. So I remember Monk and of course, Clinton Portis.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to mention Portis. Portis was, that was a good trade. It was Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis.
Yeah, Broncos, yeah.
Yeah, and we got Portis, and yeah, he had some phenomenal years here. He was a character, always dressed mm-hmm. up, you know. Was it Southeast Jerome was one of his characters, right? Yeah, you know, he's definitely a character, you know, good teams. And it's like, that's the thing, you know, back in the 90s, right, in the early 2000s, right, there were some of these good teams, we make some runs, but you know, we haven't had a playoff win in like a decade and a half or something. It's like 17, 18 years. You know, so, you know, a lot of that starts with Snyder taking the team over and some of the crazy free agent signings. Wait, you know, I forgot to mention some of my favorite Redskins. Albert Haynesworth comes to right. So I'm joking on that one, of course, if people don't know, he was a complete waste of money.
I nodded in acceptance. I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, Brute Smith, you know, Deion Sanders. Our theme at that point was to get everybody who was great but was purely out of their prime, right, and just wanted a big payday. So luckily now that's changed. We have football people in charge of football. A lot of good things. There's a lot of controversy over the last year with Washington's culture. They've cleaned house completely, even got fined like $10 million due to, you know, workplace harassment. Dan Snyder was taking a little bit of a leave of absence, and his wife, Tanya, who's been great for the community and everything, was put in place. We brought in Jason Wright to be the president of operations. He's a former NFL player, but the guy is brilliant. Like when I hear him speak or when they interview him, it's like that's what gets me fired up. Like, this guy is so inspirational when it comes to the team and everything that they want to do. It was the right time, you know, to make these changes. A lot of women in high senior positions now with Washington, people, you know, minorities have a big say in what's going on. So we're going from this really hated old school mentality of doing things now to hopefully one of the better workplaces for people to be, for diversity, inclusion, and equity. So really excited about what they're doing at the franchise level. But at the end of the day, it's all going to count on what happens on the field and see that we win. So hopefully we'll get there.
Absolutely. I mean, you went so deep there. You took away all my jokes about water girls and instead of water boys, but I'll let it go. The number one, and we'll end it with the number one guy who I always remember, of course, in the late Doug Williams.
Yeah,
led him to that Super Bowl. I still remember watching it on my 14-inch screen, black and white TV. Doug Williams was amazing. So, well, there you go. I think when you wrap it all up and you look in this box, you got to be very excited about the this Reds. Oh boy, I almost let it slip. The Washington team, and it's going to be a great year for you as a fan, as fans of the AFC East, and it's just going to be exciting.
Yeah, we're really excited, you know, and hopefully you'll have a proper name that you can pronounce next year. They've said that we're going to finally reveal our name, I think, before the draft next year. So hopefully we'll have a name, a lot of ideas on what it's going to be. But no, you know, once again, like I said earlier, you know, we get all this excitement because of what we're doing in the offseason. But the preseason game, you know, even though we lost the Patriots, but who really counts the score in preseason games? It's really what you see in that first quarter. And you know, the team was looking good. Defense was looking good. So that just leaves us to be pretty excited to get the season underway. And hopefully good things will come and we'll break that curse of having repeat champs in the NFC East. So go Washington and let's see it happen.
Nice. Wow. Outstanding ending, Larry. I this is a great show. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed yourself because I did. And listeners, I really hope you enjoyed it. Larry, thank you very much again for joining us today and sharing and enjoying the season. You want to give a shout out to anybody or the Washington team itself?
No, I'll just say thanks, Adam, for this. Appreciate it. You're doing a great job filling in for Ryan and his other host. But at the end of this, it's go Washington, go Stephen and Peter, and we're excited. So take care.
All right, go. Thank you very much, Larry. Great listeners. Please keep listening to Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. Nate, Ryan, Dorian, and everyone else will be back soon. So stay safe, stay cool, and please, please get the vaccine.